our Lord and Savior. Amen. I'd like you to raise your hand if you've heard of Tiger Woods. I think everybody's raising their hand. Now, of course, the reason Tiger Woods is so famous is that he is second to none when it comes to skill at playing golf. But recently, Tiger Woods has been famous for another reason. As you know, because of some sinful choices he has made, his life is ruined, and he will likely lose many endorsements. Once again, raise your hand if you've heard of Michael Phelps. Once again, most of you have. Michael Phelps was a real fan. I was a real fan of Michael Phelps, I should say. When I was in high school and college, believe it or not, I was a competitive swimmer. Not so much anymore. But back then I was, and so I've always followed excellent swimmers. And so when Michael Phelps had a chance to break Mark Spitz's 7 Olympic gold medal record, I was glued to the TV during those Olympics. And of course, as you know, Michael Phelps did it. He broke Mark Spitz's record, and Michael Phelps won 8 gold medals at the last Summer Olympics. But then not too long after that wonderful victory, you might remember that Michael Phelps was caught using illegal drugs. As a result, he stained his reputation and probably lost many endorsements because of that. Now, I could give you many more examples of famous people who were overcome by temptation and as a result ruined their lives. You know, when we hear things like this, we're often overcome with temptation ourselves. That's right, we're overcome with the temptation to think like this. I can't believe those people did that. I mean, I would never do such things if I were in their position. I would stand strong. I would overcome. You know, that reminds me of what Peter said during the Last Supper. You see, Jesus had just told his disciples that one of them would betray him. And then listen to what Peter said in response. He said, "Jesus, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I'll even die with you, Jesus." But then just a few hours later, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. When we are overcome by the temptation to think that we're better than others, we need to remember these words of the Apostle Paul. He said, "If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." Simply put, except by the grace of God, each and every one of us could have ended up like Tiger Woods, or Michael Phelps, or the Apostle Peter. In fact, we are just like them. We're sinners too. If you examine your life, you'll have to admit that you have been overcome by temptations more times than you can count. Now, you might be tempted to comfort yourself with the fact that no one else knows some of your sins, but we forget that God knows. That's right, those sins that no one else knows about, God knows. We need to remember that we're no better than Tiger or Michael or Peter. We must remember that there is only one who has never been overcome by temptation. In our reading from Hebrews, it says that Jesus has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Now, in our gospel reading from Luke, we see that after Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. Now, why did the Father ask Jesus to do this? Why did he ask his son to endure this horrible experience? Well, simply put, Jesus did this so that he could overcome temptation and the tempter for us. Luke records three temptations that the devil uses to try to overcome Jesus. First, the devil says, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Now, Jesus had eaten nothing for almost 40 days. I don't know about you, but if I would go 40 days without food, I'd be a little bit hungry. In fact, I'd be starving. But you see, Jesus' Father asked him to fast. So Jesus responds, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." You see, for Jesus, obeying his Father's will was more important than filling his stomach. Now, during the second temptation, the devil offers Jesus a life of splendor and power. In fact, you remember the devil said that this world has been given to me. That's important to remember. You see, everything belongs to God. Even the devil himself was created by God, although the devil rebelled. But you see, if you study Scripture, you find out that the unbelievers of this world and their various so-called kingdoms, God gave them over to the devil to be under his mastery. Those people who reject God, God has placed them under the devil's authority. So what is the devil doing here? He's saying, "Jesus, all these kingdoms of unbelievers, all their power and authority, it's been given to me. It's under me. And I can give it to anybody I want to. So I'm going to offer it all to you. I'll give it to you. You can be over it all if you will just bow down and worship me." Well, we know how Jesus responds. He says, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." You see, Jesus knows that all the pleasure and all the treasure of this world will do us no good if we reject God and trust the devil. Well, the devil's final temptation is especially deceptive. The devil actually has the guts to quote Scripture to Jesus. Of course, we see the devil doing that in our world today. Sadly, there are some situations in certain church bodies where the Bible is pulled out of context to justify any number of evils and sins. That's what the devil is trying to do here. He's trying to twist the Word of God and then make it look like he's being pious. Well, the devil quotes this verse out of context in order to tempt Jesus to put his Father to the test. The devil is trying to get Jesus to doubt his Father. But Jesus responds, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." You see, even though Jesus knows about that psalm the devil quoted, where it says that God will protect us, Jesus also knows that sometimes it's God's will for us to suffer. And when God decides to allow us to suffer, then we need to trust him rather than questioning God and doubting that he knows what he's doing. So Jesus reminds the devil that we should not put the Lord our God to the test. Jesus knows that his Father will rescue him in his time and in his way. Now, the final verse of our gospel reading is very interesting. Luke writes, "When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left Jesus until an opportune time. Here we see that the devil was not finished tempting Jesus. But the question is, what was the opportune time to tempt Jesus again? Well, think about it. When would Jesus be the most vulnerable? When would Jesus be most likely to say, "That's it! I refuse to obey my Father any longer. I'm going to do what's best for me. I'm going to do what I want to do." That moment of vulnerability was the cross. You see, just as Luke records three temptations from the devil while Jesus was in the wilderness, it's interesting to see that Luke also records three temptations from the devil while Jesus was hanging on the cross. The only difference is that the devil uses people who were present at Jesus' crucifixion in order to tempt him. That's right. Through them, the devil attempts to overcome Jesus. In Luke 23:35, it says, "The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at Jesus. They said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one.'" Then, in Luke 23, verses 36 through 37, it says, "The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They said, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.'" Finally, Luke 23, verse 39 reads, "One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. 'Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us.'" Now, isn't that ironic? The criminal asked Jesus to save him by using his power to stop the crucifixion. Little did the criminal know that Jesus was saving him by not saving himself. You see, the devil wanted Jesus to deny his Father's will and turn away from the cross. But Jesus was not overcome by the devil's temptation. Jesus overcame the tempter by obeying his Father's will to the end. Jesus did not save himself so that he could save us from the devil's temptations. You see, there's something you need to understand about the devil. The devil acts like your best friend when he tempts you to sin. He gets you to think that God is keeping you from doing what's good and what's fun, and he gets you to think that the devil is really your friend and knows what's best for you. But you know what? Once you have been overcome by temptation, the devil will then turn on you with all his rage and fury. The devil will then throw your sins back in your face and remind you how wicked you are and how God has every reason to hate you. And guess what? The devil is right. We are wicked, and God does have every reason to hate us. The devil should be able to mock us forever in hell. But he won't. Why not? Because the tempter has been overcome by Christ. Jesus himself has overcome the devil. In fact, he's overcome the devil in two ways. First, Jesus has overcome the devil's power to accuse us. My friends, one of the names for the devil is Satan. In fact, that word Satan comes from the Hebrew word Satan, which means the accuser. Satan loves to rub our faces in our sins. But Jesus has taken away the devil's power to accuse us. That's why Jesus is our only refuge against the devil's accusations. If you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the devil can't accuse you. You see, you can confess to God all the times that you've been overcome by temptation. You can do that with the confidence that you are completely forgiven and holy before God because of Jesus. The devil can accuse you all he wants, but you are clean and innocent before God and His throne of grace. Now, a second way that Jesus has overcome the devil is that He has taken away the devil's power to tempt us. Now, when Jesus returns on the final day, He will destroy the devil and all evil forever. Never again will the tempter tempt God's people. However, you must understand that before the final day, the devil continues to prowl around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So the question is, how can you avoid being overcome by the devil's temptations this side of heaven? Well, first, we need to follow the example of Jesus in our gospel reading. Listen to these words from Ephesians chapter 6. Paul writes, "Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Did you hear what Paul said? We should use God's Word against the devil and against the desires of our own sinful nature. That means we should fill our hearts and minds with Holy Scripture. That's why it's important not only for us to be in church on a regular basis, but also to attend Bible class when we have the opportunity, to read the Bible on our own, to have family devotions. Any way we can have Holy Scripture fill our lives will give us the ability to stand firm against the devil's schemes. That's why we should hear, read, and study the Bible as often as possible. You must make the Word of God part of your daily spiritual diet. We need to stop eating the spiritual junk food of the evil world. So if you can learn to quote God's Word when faced with temptation, you will discover that you won't have to be overcome so often. However, having said all that, we must remember that no matter how hard we try, no matter how much we study God's Word, no matter how much we apply Scripture to our lives, we will always fall short of total victory. You see, unlike Jesus, we are sinners. Sometimes we will be overcome by temptation in spite of our best efforts, in spite of our best intentions. I mean, think about it. Even if we can avoid all sinful behavior, although I don't think any of us can do that either, but even if we can avoid all sinful behavior, we still have all those sinful desires and thoughts lurking in our hearts and minds. Therefore, we must recognize that Jesus does so much more than simply give us an example to follow. Jesus is first and foremost the one who has overcome temptation and the tempter for us. My friends, Jesus went into the wilderness to reverse the curse that came from Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. Jesus overcame temptation for you. Jesus has clothed you with His own sinless perfection. So when God looks at you, God does not see a sinner who has been overcome by temptation time and again. No. When God looks at you, He sees Jesus. My friends, we sinners face temptations every day. That is why we must trust in the one who has overcome temptation for us. Now one day, Jesus will return in power and glory. Then He will destroy the devil forever. But until that final day, remember that Jesus has overcome temptation for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.